Let's turn to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, 14. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. And we'll see. I think we can probably cover all of what I'm going to go over because I don't want to go too long. Chapter 14, Matthew, verse 1. Says, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod, now we're going to back up a little bit in the past, for Herod had laid hold of John, bound him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. You know, women's caused a lot of problem in the world. They have. Almost every major war has been fought because of a woman. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, my first thing I want to talk about is his disciples, John's disciples, they were distraught. They just lost John. They had looked up to him, they had followed him for quite a while, and so they were stunned at what took place. Now, but it says they shared their grief with who? Jesus. That's who they went to. And no doubt they had probably heard John when he first said, behold the Lamb of God. But also they knew, could have been some of these disciples, had went to see John in prison. And John said, go ask him if he's the Messiah. And so they had some doubts as well. But they shared their grief with Jesus. Now, really, we should take heed to this. We can tell it to Jesus. Because Jesus will take care of all of our disappointments in life. And by the way, life brings us disappointments. Anybody ever been disappointed in a child? One of their children? Uh-huh. I don't even want to begin there. grandparent, you ever been disappointed with any of your grandkids? But you see, we are good at telling things to people. Well, we go to people and, oh, I can't believe. Well, I'll use her because I can get away with it. I can't believe what Anaya thinks. Or I can't believe what my daughter thinks. I ain't going to pick on my son. He's got name bramage now, but that's what he told me. Not brain damage. He said, I got name bramage, Dad. I said, whatever. So we're good at telling others all about our situation, but do we tell Jesus? You see, it says here they went to Jesus and they told Jesus what took place. We should take heed to that because We should bring our disappointments, and there will be disappointments in our life. We should bring them before Christ, and really we must learn how to handle that situation. We need to remember that when we tell it to Jesus, He does expect us to handle things to a point. We need to handle them with care. Psalm, if you want to write it down, I've got it written somewhere. I got it on a note, they call it. Ah, there it is. I'm getting good with this. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In other words, Jesus will help us deal with our problems. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon Him." But I like what the psalmist said, because the psalmist said, "Hey, take your burden to Jesus, because guess what? Jesus will give you what you need to stand firm in where you're at, no matter what's going on." Amen. So he did. The disciples of John took it and they told Jesus. Now, look at verse 13 down through 21. "When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the multitude is now past. Send them away that they may go into the villages and buy them victuals.'" Now, you read on down through 21, you find out Jesus said, set them all down. He brought the fishes to Him, the loaves to Him, and He prayed over it, and boom, they delivered it out, and then they ended up with 12 baskets full. They had 12 left over. I'm not even going to go into what that is. But what I want you to notice is what the disciples said. Send the multitude away. Listen, we can bring it to Jesus. That really what the multitude should have done was said, "Hey, what do you want us to do? We've got all these people. They're hungry. What do you want us to do?" I mean, He'd been healing them. But they said, "All these people are here. Look, you need to send them away so they can go get something." We don't have to send anybody away. We can bring it to Jesus. Jesus said, "Bring what you have to Me." No, He said, "Bring it to Me." Amen. Now, what we need to get from this is we can bring people to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of the problem. Amen. Now, I realize there's people that come into church, and they'll listen to the gospel, and they'll sit there and they'll think, "Yeah, that's good," and they'll get up and leave. But a seed was planted, and you never know at what point somebody's going to water it. And we never know at what point God's going to give the increase. So we should never be afraid to bring people to Jesus, because listen, that's who they need to meet. We should never be afraid to bring our problems to Jesus, because Jesus can work with us in whatever our problem is. We need to tell it to Him, and we need to bring it to Him. Because, listen, people need need the Lord's touch. I've needed the Lord's touch more than just once. Sandy thinks I've been touched. But anyway, seriously, I got touched by the Lord Jesus Christ and I got saved. But since then, I've been touched in many different ways from the Lord. And hey, it has opened my eyes to a lot of things. I'll be up front with you, man. I've been in that revival down there. And you're lucky tonight that I ain't running around in here going nuts. Because I've been touched at every service by Brother Randy. The Lord has used him greatly to speak to my heart, and I've been excited. I've been sitting there and amen. I raise my hand up like that, and there's a few people there like, you know, but that's okay. I had a lady come up to me last night. She said, "Oh, Pastor Jim," she said, "I know you don't know me." And I said, "No, not really." So she introduced herself, and And she said, I love it when you say amen. She said, because that's what I'm used to. Amen. She said, and I'll even raise my hand. She said, I've seen you do that. I said, hey. I said, every now and then when you got to put your antennas up, you know, get a better reception. It's good. So we need to tell it to Jesus. We need to bring it to Jesus. Now, look at verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he heard and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw it, they were scared. And he said, be of good cheer. It's I, verse 27. And Peter said, well, if it's you, can I walk to you on the water? He said, come on. Now, we got to hand it to Peter. Peter did walk on water. I don't know if it was 5 foot or if it was 100 yards. But he walked on water. So I ain't going to nag at Peter for sinking. But there's some storms that come because of disobedience. But there's also the storms that come even when we're being obedient. And that's the ones that irritate. I get a storm because I've been disobedient. I get it. It's like, I got it. You can call it off. But the storms that are coming when I've been disobedient, I mean, when I've been obedient, I'm like, really? I've been doing good, Lord. Been reading my Bible, been in church the way I should, and did you have to break that? you start questioning things. But really and truly, we just need to look to Jesus. You see, you got to ask yourself, are you keeping your eye on Jesus in the storm? Because it may not be of disobedience that you're in a storm. Somebody else may be in a storm and you just happen to be in the boat with them. And it may just be because the Lord wants to remind you, you need to keep looking at me. You need to keep your eyes on me. Because we do tend to lean in the wrong direction sometimes. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I mean 1 through 3, it talks about the sins and the weights of all of that. But it says in verse 3, looking unto Jesus. That's who we need to keep our eyes on. Amen. So we need to be sure we're looking unto Jesus. And beware of distractions. Amen. See, that's what happened. They were obedient. The Lord said, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Get in there. They got in the boat. They were obedient. He goes off up in the mountain and prays. Listen, he knew the storm was coming. And he knew what he was going to do. They were being obedient, but they let the storm distract them. You see, don't let storms distract you. I call storms a bad visit with the doctor. You ever had one of them? That's a storm. Bad visit with your spouse. You drop by and she's got an attitude with you. That's kind of a storm. You don't have them, I know. Larry does. Drama. Anybody ever did? Don't let that distract you and get your eyes off the Lord, because what happens? Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. That what he does, he gets you in a storm, or you may be in the storm, and all of a sudden Satan says, oh, check this out, what an opportunity, and I didn't even have to create the storm. Amen. And he goes over there and starts adding in there, you know, because he wants to get your eyes off it. And you may be praying and doing everything right in your storm and knowing the Lord's taking care of you, But then Satan jumps in and says, oh, let me stir this a little bit. You know, he likes to stir. You ever seen one of them big flat cow patties out in the pasture and it's crusty, about that thick? If you leave it alone, it's okay. But if you go messing with it, whoo, man, it's all gooey and stinks. That's what Satan likes to do. He likes to stir up the cow patty in your life. And it was fine just crusted in the sun. And that gets your mind off of who it's supposed to be on. Now, Campbell Morgan said this. It's a quote. He's a preacher from way back. He is nigh when he seems absent. He is watching when he seems blind. He is active when he seems idle. Don't ever think in your mind, and don't let the devil lie to you, because he will, that Jesus ain't listening to you. That he ain't watching. See, the apostles were out there in the boat. I can assure you that while they were in that boat, the storm started, the water's crashing over, and Satan shows up, and one of his little demons shows up and says, Peter, you guys are going to drown, man. And they all start panicking. Oh, we're in trouble. Where's Jesus when you need him? Oh, he don't care about you. That's what he does to us. If he cared about you, you wouldn't be in this anyway. You wouldn't have this problem. Don't ever think the Lord ain't there watching everything going on and he's got it all under control. Amen? Amen. Amen.